Kia tau te rangi mari e, o rangi nui e tui honei, o papu tuanuku e takatonei, o te tai ao e awhinei I a tātou, tihei mauri ora. This is The Green Desk with Connor Mercer on 95BFM.
Yes indeed, it is The Green Desk, though today not with Connor Mercer. Instead we have Kelly. Kelly talked to Catherine Ngapo, who is the co-chair of the Waiheke-based organisation Save Kennedy Point. SKP is hosting a fundraiser and community event in the hopes of raising not only money but awareness for a marina that the Auckland Council has approved. SKP argues that the marina will be detrimental to the history and culture of the beautiful bay, and it is also alleged to have extremely negative effects on the marine ecosystem of the area, in which Catherine explains further.
SKP was formed to take an appeal to the Environment Court against the Kennedy Point Marina, and we are sort of a group of locals who believe that the marina decision is wrong and that Auckland City shouldn't have consented it. So for one thing, the marina is really large. It's 7.38 hectares, I think. And it has around about 200 boats in it. So we believe that that is a real intrusion upon that bay. And the bay has a huge amount of cultural and historical significance for Māori people. Also quite historical for Pākehā. So for Māori people, it's the place where the Te Arawa Waka came in not long after it arrived, after voyaging across the Pacific. And it was relashed at Rangihaua, which is, Kennedy Point is actually part of Putiki Bay. Putiki Bay is sort of a large, sort of estuarine area.
Right.
And so the Te Arawa Waka was relashed there, and then it went off and it did some more journeying, but one of the people on the Te Arawa Waka, Putiki o Kahu, no, Kahu Matamoimoi, came and lived at the pā Te Putiki o Katu, Kahu Matamamoi. And so right from the 14th century, it had a very historic occupation.
Yeah.
It has 71 known archaeological sites around the bay, and included in that there are several pā sites. And what a local historian, Paul Monin, says is that the pā sites are really representative of a defensive, of tiers of pā. So there's a whole lot of defensive pās, sites, and then there's the main site, Te Putiki o Kahu Matamamoi. And that what you can see in this bay is that that's still there, largely physically in the form that it would have been years ago. So it's been not been sort of bulldozed into submission or totally gone. A lot of those sites are still there, but maybe overgrown with bush. Unlike in Auckland, so if you imagine downtown Auckland, that's impossible to imagine a Māori occupancy, but it's not the case here, and he thinks that should be valued, and so do we.
Yeah.
The other thing is that it was a huge... I grew up here, and my family ate from that, from the whole of Putiki Bay every day of my life, until I was maybe 6 or 7, and then maybe 3 days of my life we ate from that bay. So it was a major seafood gathering area for Māori, and there's huge middens around the outside which show that. So that's one of the reasons we believe that if you stick a great big urban marina there, that negates all of that history and that cultural value. And yeah.
So what reason, you know, this deep-pocketed developer obviously is doing this for some, you know, some purpose. Is it an economic
reason? You make a lot of money. If you're a developer, the way our law works, nobody owns the seabed. And so if you're a developer, you can come in and you can try and nab sections of it for free. So he gets that 7.3 hectares for free. So then he can put on marina berths, and it's going to be around about 200, maybe. They haven't finalised their numbers. The berth sizes are between 12 and 25 metres, so they're really big boats for more wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
And the cheapest one is 135,000, so that's around about 130,000. I mean, we haven't been told that in absolute amounts either. So when you think about that, you know, you can make millions and millions and millions of dollars from doing a development like this.
Mm. And if we see a development like this occur, do you think around New Zealand it's likely that there would be other sort of sea...
Yeah, I do think that. I mean, that's how marinas are commonly... That's what happens in all marinas anyway, that's always for free, that seabed area. But in this particular case, there is a floating car... There is no land for them to build upon. So they have a floating car park with two large buildings, which is a precedent for New Zealand. And the precedent, you know, for those of us who value the coastal marine area and access to your coast, it means, you know, if they're allowed to do this, then all sorts of development could be sited on the water near the coast because there's a precedent. And the other precedent is that they're burying their grey water and black water tanks in the seabed, which we haven't heard of before. So that's worrying. I guess that the other main reason that we worry about it as well is that there are a couple of other things. The first thing is that marinas are really polluting. So the four marinas in the Auckland Harbour are said to put as much copper, toxic copper, into the environment as the whole stormwater catchment of the whole of the Auckland area, which goes into the Waitemata. Mm. So they're really, really polluting. And we worry that having a high level of pollution in our pretty clean bay means that we will lose the option of fishing and knowing that our food is safe to eat and getting oysters and cockles and knowing that they're safe to eat.
Mm.
And also it means we have five areas of significant ecological areas which are on Auckland Council overlays within the large bay. And that means that, you know, they're ecologically important and we're choosing to put a marina in an area where we have these five ecologically important areas. And what the marina is positioned near the head of the bay, near the mouth of the bay, sorry. And what that means is that when the water comes in on an incoming tide, it will come through the marina and take whatever is in the marina to the rest of the main bay and pollute it. And right now we have godwits there, we have dotterels there, we have variable oyster catchers, there have been reef herons.
And you've also got all sorts blue of penguins rare birds. As well there,
yeah.
Don't you?
And the main sort of wildlife that will be particularly impacted is the blue penguin because their floating pontoon with their 72 cars on it and their two large buildings is directly opposite a council breakwater, and in that council breakwater there is a penguin colony.
Yeah.
At the narrowest point, that's only 3 metres away from the pontoon and the cars. And we believe that the penguins will be, you know, it will be a lot harder for them to come and go from their rock breakwater.
Mm.
There is a huge floating attenuator in the water, which is another big problem. It's, I think, 6 or 7 metres wide by about 400 metres long. And so the penguins, which would normally just swim through and up to the breakwater where they nest, they're going to be trapped out into the main channel by these attenuators. So that means instead of having quite a lot of space to move around in, they're pushed out to where all of the boats are coming and going, and penguins are largely killed by boat strike. So you'll have 200 more boats in the marina going in and out. You've got two, you know, the SeaLink ferries coming and going in the same patch of water, as well as 200 boats which normally occupy the rest of the Putiki Bay. So for the penguin, you know, I think that's quite a dangerous thing. They've got pollution and stuff from the marina. They've got harder access to get into the colony. They've got a far greater likelihood of boat strike.
That was The Green Desk with Connor Mercer on 95 BFM. Tihei Modi Order.